Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to our great big Monday show here at Catholic Answers Live. Thanks so much for being with us. I hope your summer is progressing nicely. I know it's hot in many places. Hope you're cool, or at least not overheating. We are so happy to have you. Again, I am Cy Kellett, your host. In this hour, we discuss something that I wish we would discuss a little bit more, but we're familiar with the saints from St. Joseph and the early apostles, saints and all that. To the saints of today, the Mother Teresa's and the Pope John Paul II's of this world, and there's a consistency about the sanctity of these people. But what about before Jesus? Were there any of these saints before Jesus, or can we talk about any of the figures from the Old Testament as saintly figures? Well, I was reminded today by our guest that the Lord assures us that some of the saints of the Hebrew Bible, the patriarchs and prophets, are with him in paradise. And we discuss that. If you have questions about the saints of the Old Testament, give us a call, 888-318-7884. The saints of the Old Testament today, 888-318-7884. Our guest for the hour is Steve Ray, a convert to Catholic Church and the author of a whole bunch of best-selling books for Ignatius Press, Crossing the Tiber, Upon This Rock, and St. John's Gospel. His latest book is The Faith for Beginners, Understanding the Creeds. He's also the host of a 10-part and the writer and producer and everything of a 10-part DVD series, The Footprints of God, The Story of Salvation from Abraham to Augustine. He and his wife, Janet, also are guides in the certified guides in the Holy Land. They lead pilgrimages to the Holy Land, to Rome, all over the world. Steve Ray, thanks again for being with us.
You're welcome, Cy. I love coming on your show. This is fun.
Yeah, it's great to have you. I know you're joining us from pure Michigan today, where you're visiting your mom, right?
My mother-in-law, she's getting old and she's losing her eyesight. One is blind, the other is almost blind. She can just see shadows now. And we're trying to come up and help her sell a house and be up here just to kind of be with her for a while. So we're up in the upper part of Michigan in the backwoods here in Indian River, it's called. So here I am out in the pine trees in a little cabin. Amazing technology. I can be talking with you like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it's so great. And Michigan, this is what Tim Allen says, that for 3 months of the year, Michigan is heaven. And you're right smack in the middle of those.
Yep, it is. It's very nice. And if you like winter, it's heaven for you there too, with snow and ice. I love the seasons. I love the change of season. Fall is my best. Fall and spring when it's not too hot, not too cold. But I love the seasons, and I think Michigan's a great state.
I've always been the entire fall crying that summer's over. I can't get over it. It takes me the entire then I can be happy again when winter comes, because that means summer's getting closer. You have among your videos in the and the story of salvation from Abraham to Augustine is the Elijah and Elisha video. Would you say, when we're talking about Old Testament saints, Elisha, but Elijah and Elisha, are they Old Testament saints? And what's our evidence that they are?
They are Old Testament saints. And not only that, but I also did a movie on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they're saints. And on Moses and Joshua, they're saints. And David, Solomon didn't make the cut. Solomon screwed up. Wisest man on the face of the earth, given more wisdom than he played the fool. And he didn't make it, but his father David did. Elijah and Elisha. That's how I pronounce it in the movie, by the way, Elisha.
Elisha.
To make the distinction between Elijah and Elisha.
I see.
Because otherwise they sound too close together. And so they're also saints. And also we have to say the women, Sarah, Hannah. These are listed even in the catechism as they're the ones who prepared the way for Mary. So one of the fun things to think about with the Old Testament saints is that when I'm going to give a talk on this all through Nebraska, three places in Nebraska this weekend, about the Old Testament saints. So this is a fun topic to do now. And I'm going to ask, take 5 seconds and think of the three saints that impact you the most. Some of us say Teresa of Lisieux, St. John Paul II, Mother Teresa, something like that. And I'm going to say, okay, now, let's step back 2,000 years, and who do you think Mary's saints were? Who do you think her heroes or her saints that she looked up to were. And people have this blank look on their face. Mary had saints. She had heroes. And the catechism says, even, I'm just going to read this, if you don't mind, just real quickly. Throughout the Old Testament, the mission of many holy women prepared the way for Mary. And it lists Eve. Eve is a saint, by the way. Adam and Eve have their feast day on Christmas Eve. Why? Because the next day the new Adam is born on Christmas Day. So Eve and Adam are considered saints. Oh, and I saw a great picture in Istanbul, Turkey, in this ancient church with Jesus reaching down into the tomb and pulling Adam and Eve up out of the grave on Resurrection Day. And Eve has her right hand covered with a red cloth because she's embarrassed that she reached out with that hand and took the fruit from the tree. But they're considered saints, and in our liturgy, they have a feast day of November 24th. And the catechism mentions Eve, Sarah, these are the women, Hannah, Deborah, Ruth, Judith, Esther, and there's others as well. Those are just kind of the top seven. But think about who was Mary's saints. Jesus growing up as a young boy, who were his saints? St. Paul had saints. One of them was Phineas. If you want to know about Phineas, he's a very interesting character. It said that he was zealous for the name of God. And Paul more than once says, I was more zealous than all of my countrymen. Why? Because he looked back to Phineas as his hero. He wanted to be just like Phineas in the Old Testament. So our Mary, Jesus, Joseph, they all had saints. And they all had heroes in the Old Testament that they looked up to and wanted to emulate. So that's kind of a new concept for people. They don't tend to think about that.
So why don't I say St. Abraham or St. Moses, St. Elijah, that kind of thing?
Well, because they were living before the time of Christ and before heaven was open. And when Jesus died on the cross and was buried, it says, and Peter tells us this in his writings in the New Testament, that Jesus went down into the prison, the place where all those people were being held, and he announced to them, guys, guess what? What you were looking forward to, what you had faith and believed in, Abraham, when I made the promise to you, and David and all the others, I've come now to take you with me to heaven. So partly we don't think of them because they were living at a time before the resurrection of the dead and those Old Testament saints being taken up into heaven. But I think also we're just more familiar with the New Testament. And we tend, Catholics especially, tend not to be so familiar with the Old Testament. It's kind of strange and foreign to them. Why I always say it this way. If you were at a party, and it's every year, your birthday, and they say, okay, now here's the table over here. We're going to have some pizza and cake that was left over from last year. And on this table, we're going to have a brand new cake we just bought and some piping hot pizza. What table are you going to go get the pizza and the cake from? Of course, the new one. I think Catholics have a tendency to say, why do you need the Old Testament? We have the New Testament, the New Covenant, Jesus, Peter, Paul, Mary, all these guys. These are the saints that we know and we're familiar with. And I think they tend not to be so familiar with the Old Testament. Jimmy Akin, by the way, on his blog, has a very good article about why we don't generally call them Saint Elijah, Saint Moses, but they do in the Eastern traditions.
Oh, so if I go into a Russian Orthodox church, I might encounter Saint Moses?
Yes.
I see. And you know what? I have heard the phrase Holy Moses. You hear that sometimes. And that's the same thing, really. That's what saint means, isn't it?
Yes. Saint and holy are basically the same word. And I'll read to you a catechism quote. I love this paragraph. It's short, only one simple sentence, paragraph 61 in the catechism. The patriarchs, prophets, and certain other Old Testament figures have been and always will be honored as saints in all the church's liturgical traditions.
Wow, that always has been is very, very firm.
Yes.
Firm there. You know, I wonder if I don't know. There's a very mixed tradition of the relationship between Catholics and Jews, going back to the early days, and you know, and problems on both sides. And I'm not trying to make excuses or anything like that. But maybe do you think that honoring these saints of the Old Testament, it gives a sense of maybe a greater appreciation of the Jewish people as God's chosen people and of the history of sanctity there?
It definitely does. I have friends that say that if we in the Catholic Church would emphasize more the saints that we have from the Old Testament, it would make Jewish people who are converting, and there are a lot of Jewish people converting to the Catholic faith. There are, and I know that you've probably had some of them, like Roy Shoman and others, on your show. And they are, and Rosalind Moss, of course. And, you know, my goodness, here's a Jewish convert too. And I think that if they were to see that we celebrated the feasts of the saints of the Old Testament, and that Catholics, maybe we incorporated more of that into our life. Now, it is in our liturgy. The liturgy is full of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and the stories and the Psalms. But I think if you know, the Catholics, a convert from Jewish is thinking of becoming a Catholic and wakes up on, let's see, what is it here, on July 20th and find out it's the feast day of Elijah the prophet, I'm sorry. They would say, wow, that's our guy.
And, right. Yeah,
I think that it is. And there's actually a really nice article in my blog back several months by a guy named Father Stanley Smolensky. He writes about that, actually, and says that it would be very helpful for Jewish people in a conversion if they were converting into something that was a little more familiar.
Ah, fair enough. And it is familiar territory. I mean, one of the popes said, it might have been Paul VI, that Jews are our older brothers in the faith. Do I have the right?
Right.
Is that Paul
VI? And I think also Pius XII said that we are all spiritual Semites.
Ah, yeah, right. The faith doesn't just pop into existence with Jesus. There's a long preparation.
Oh, yeah. In the movie that we made on Abraham, I go into detail about that. I say that our root and our trunk is the Old Covenant. It's the Old Testament. It's Judaism. That is the root and the trunk of what we are. We then are the branches and the leaves and the fruit. We didn't just pop into existence out of a vacuum. All of a sudden, bang, we have the day of Pentecost. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes down, and there's such a thing called the church now, and that's a whole new thing. Actually, Pentecost isn't even a Christian festival. It's not a Christian feast day. It's a Jewish feast day. The first Pentecost was at Mount Sinai when the law was given to Moses by God on the mountain. That was the first Pentecost. So we're just piggybacking off Judaism. Everything that we do in the church is Jewish.
888-318-7884 is our number. Steve Ray is our guest. We're talking about Old Testament saints today. If you have questions about those saintly figures of the Hebrew Scriptures, of those centuries of faithfulness, not always perfect faithfulness, but none of us live perfect faithfulness. But many, many faithful people, always the faith persisted among the Jewish people before Christ came, sometimes just among a few lowly and unrecognized folks, but always it persisted. If you have questions about that time and about those holy people, 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. And you should know that we talked a little bit about this Elijah and Elisha, Conscience of the Kingdom, part of the series that Steve Ray has done. That's available at our store, shop.catholic.com, and everything in the store right now, including Elijah and Elisha, is on sale. Almost all books, DVDs, audio tracks, digital productions, everything, 10 to 25% off, and some things even more than 25% off, including this Footprints of God DVD set by Steve Ray. You don't need a promotion code. You just go there, shop, and save for the rest of this month. Hundreds of great resources on sale. Visit shop.catholic.com today and begin to save. We'll be right back with Steve Ray and Old Testament saints right after this.
This is Bishop Robert Barron. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
The Trump administration rolls back the Health and Human Services contraceptive mandate.
U.S. bishops calling for the total elimination of nuclear weapons.
Pope Francis offers prayers for the victims of the California wildfires.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill banning abortions after 20 weeks.
And Pope Francis says the death penalty is contrary to the gospel.
Your link to news headlines Catholics count on at the top of the hour. Weekdays on EWTN Radio.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to the faith is prayer. Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884.
This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. 2 great hours of radio for you today. Second hour, Eric Sammons is going to be here. Eric's the author of many books, including the old evangelization, How to Evangelize the Way Jesus Did. And we're going to talk about circles of evangelization today. That is, maybe you hear preached in church, as it should be preached, that we are all meant to share the good news. We're all meant to evangelize. But how do I do that? We'll talk a bit about that with Eric Sammons next hour. This hour, our guest is Steve Ray. And Steve, among his many other pursuits, including writing books and making movies, like the one we were just talking about, Elijah and Elisha, Conscience of the Kingdom, is also a world traveler, bringing people on tours all over the place. So you got anything coming up?
Oh, we always have 10 to 11 a year that we take, just my wife and I take, and most of them sell out. But we have coming up in September still some empty seats. We're going to Jordan first, full of biblical sites for 4 days to Jordan. We're going to go see Petra, ride camels and everything down there, birthplace of Elijah, the place where Mount Nebo, where Moses looked out over the land, the authentic baptismal site of Jesus, all that in Jordan. And then we cross over the Jordan River and we spend 7 days going all through Israel. So we have that one coming up. We have a St. Paul cruise and pilgrimage going through Greece and Turkey on over to Italy and the Greek islands. We're going to hit 9 biblical sites on that trip, not counting Rome. And then we have another one in December, Christmas Holy Land trip for families over the Christmas break, and also Mexico. Mexico, people are afraid to go to Mexico, but there's no reason to be. Mexico, where we go, is really beautiful, full of rich history. This is where the gospel came to the new world. And we're going to renew our baptismal vows in the very first baptismal font brought over by Cortez in the 1500s. So we got several. Everything there is on my website, Catholic Convert, if anybody wants to come with us.
CatholicConvert.com, right?
That's it.
CatholicConvert.com. You won't regret that you did. Man, you are just always on the road. I don't know. What are you going to do when you have to stop?
I'll write books more.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Fair enough. We're talking.
When I can't walk, I'll sit and write. My head is full of books. I just don't have time to get it all on paper.
Oh, well, maybe we'll wish for a little downturn in the industry then. Maybe get some more books out of you, Steve. we'll see. So you talked about Mary's heroes, and there are some very holy women in the Hebrew Scriptures. And I think sometimes people think there's the modern critique of Judeo-Christianity, patriarchal and all that. And it is patriarchal. The patriarchs are good people, and what they did is good.
Yep.
But there's no shortage of holy women throughout the Old Testament.
No. Let's just look at Sarah, for example. Sarah, who they lived with, her and Abram lived in what's today called Iraq. And in our movie on Abraham, we spent a week in Iraq doing all this. This is right when ISIS was coming into Iraq, by the way. So we got out of there just before they swept in. But they already had taken over some cities, but I had to get the footage. And they lived there, and God called them when Abraham was 75, Sarah was 65. They had no children. They just had lots of flocks and herds and 318 people working for him. God says, I want you to pack up your bags. Now, he had no idea who this God was. They worshiped Nana, the god of the moon, the ziggurats, the big Babylonian ziggurats. That's where they would worship. And you could see Abram bringing animals and things to the false gods there. This is what he did until he was 75 years old. And the book of Joshua tells us about that. And then God says, I want you to leave. And Abram says, wait a minute. You want me to do what? Leave my ancestors, leave my home, leave my family, everything I've always known, to a mumbled nowhere that you don't even tell me. You just tell me to go until you say stop. You want me to do all of that? My camels will leave in the morning. This is the faith of Abraham and Sarah. And, yeah. You know, I would have said, if God had come to me, especially a God I didn't know yet, he just comes to me out of nowhere and starts talking and tells me he wants to do this. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you all these things. I would say, well, okay, let's sit down. I'm going to get an attorney. And I want to talk about the pension that I'm going to have and the health insurance program.
Right.
And what kind of, you know, I want to know if I'm going to have a deed to the land before I leave or am I going to get it when I arrive. Abram didn't say any of that. It just says, my camels will leave in the morning. And there goes all 318 of his servants and his flocks and his herds. They travel 1,600 miles walking. And you just can't comprehend that. Walking from Iraq up through Turkey, then down through the crescent and down into what's called Israel today. And then they're going to have a son, right? Sarah's going to give birth to a son. She's 65 years old. Kind of too late, God, kind of too late. The old body's just not working the way it used to. And Abraham says, you know, I would have said, well, look at my wife. You tell me we're going to have a baby now? Then they get to the land, and for 25 years they do not get a son. They do not own one inch of the land except for a cave that Abraham buys to bury his wife in when she dies. They don't own anything. 25 years they're following their flocks and their herds. This is hot land. It's 100 degrees right now or more in Israel. If you're there right now, you'd be between 90 and 100, 120 degrees in many parts of Israel. It's living in tents. You know, we think of them as living like us. They didn't. I don't think they had all their teeth. They didn't have dentists back then and dental implants and things like that. When you got hit with something or you got a tooth that got, you pulled it and it was gone. You go out and look at the Bedouins today, half of their teeth are gone. You have Abraham and Sarah wandering in the wilderness out there covered with perspiration. I say a perpetual condition of perspiration. All these animals, and they trusted God. They continued to trust God. They grabbed a hold of God and they didn't let go. You promised we're going to hold you to this and we're going to follow you wherever you take us until you keep your promise. It wasn't until Abram was 99 years old and Sarah was 89 that God visited him and said, you're going to have a son this time next year, and I'm going to give you a sign of the covenant. What's the sign of the covenant? Circumcision. I would have said, you know what? You're crazy. I'm 100 years old. I'm not circumcising myself. And you think all these 318 guys with me are going to get circumcised? You're crazy. They'll kill me. But the next morning, the flint knife came out, and they were all circumcised.
I'd like to move on.
I don't want to think about that. No, I also, but I'm trying to bring the reality of these Old Testament saints. This is Abraham and Sarah. And so Mary, she looks to Sarah, who has wandered through the same wilderness and land that Mary's now living in. And she's walking 100 miles every year to go to Passover, and 100 miles back Mary walks. To visit Elizabeth, she had to walk 100 miles and 100 miles back. And so Mary, when she looked at these Old Testament women, they were heroic. They clung to God. It's like they walked up and grabbed a hold of God's ropes and said, I'm not going to let go of you. I'm going to live my life in honor and obedience to you, and I'm not letting go. I'm going to get your promises, and I'm going to live my life for you. So Mary had these saints that she looked up to.
We got callers for you. Steve, I want to give out the number again for those who would like to discuss with Steve Old Testament saints. That's what we're talking about this hour with Steve Ray, our guest. 888-318-7884. If you prefer the spelled version, 888-31-TRUTH is that number. We start the calls with Ben in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listening on 720 AM. Ben, your question for Steve Ray.
Yeah, thanks very much for taking my call. My question actually stems from the Orthodox Church. I know in the Orthodox Church, it's a tradition in some of the different jurisdictions to have an annual blessing of vehicles around the feast day of St. Elijah, sometimes on his feast day, sometimes the Sunday closest to it. And I know in the Catholic Church we have, you know, like the blessing of animals for St. Francis. Is there anything similar for St. Elijah that the Catholic Church has done historically that you might know of? Because I know growing up and in my, you know, young adult years here, I've never heard of anything like that.
I don't think that I have either. I know that in the Eastern Church they do that. I love it, the patron saint of Cespa for transportation, because he was taken up into heaven in a chariot. That's good. I like that. And I know that the Eastern Church does this more. I don't know of anything. I know that earlier, before Vatican II, there was more of a recognition from the little I've read on it in some areas that they did more with the Old Testament saints, and they were somewhat removed, and we don't hear about them as much afterwards. But I can't answer that question for you. But I really think that we ought to revisit some of those things and bring these Old Testament saints back, because they are such a rich example for us. And it saddens me that when I do these movies on Elijah and Elisha, even Carmelite sisters said, we didn't know half of that stuff that we learned in your movie about Elijah, and he's our patron saint. So I don't know of anything that I can tell you at this point, at least not in current times. It's sad.
Ben?
Yeah, it is. But thank you very much. I appreciate the input.
Well, thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
Steve, would you say in general, I mean, is it fair to say that Eastern Catholics are, at this moment in history, let's say, doing a better job than Western Catholics, maybe Latin Rite Catholics in particular, at honoring and remembering the saints of the Old Testament?
I would say yes.
Okay.
I think they have, you know, they have the icons. And when you go into their churches, you know, many Catholic churches today, they're being sanitized. I know there's a lot of the really beautiful churches coming back now. But I know that you go to an Eastern church and it's just, there's nowhere where you look where there's not a beautiful painting. You look up into the sky and the whole sky is blue with gold stars and all the saints up there. And many of them are Old Testament saints. For example, at Mount Carmel in Haifa, you go look in there and there's David playing his harp and Elijah going up on a chariot and Abraham with Isaac. I know that the Eastern Church does so much more with that than we do, I think. And I think our churches are coming back, though, and I hope that they'll include more of the Old Testament saints.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, Steve, because if you're not really honoring saints in general, if the churches are so plain that there aren't windows and things to the saints, then you're not going to get any of these in there.
Sometimes I feel like I'm walking into a Protestant church.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back with more on Old Testament saints with Steve Ray on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Pat Buchanan. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about a very special promotion we look forward to every year, our annual store-wide summer sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. This spectacular online event includes savings of 10 to 25% and more in some cases on every book, tract, CD, DVD, ebook, and MP3 we carry, including my new book, What the Saints Never Said. With lower prices and a great selection, it's by far the best online Catholic sale of the summer. So log on now and all this month to the shop at shop.catholic.com and take advantage of our very special prices. You know it's all good stuff because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers.
Are faith and science compatible? Are they friends or foes? Catholic Answers Magazine is tackling that question and others with our very special Faith and Science issue, delving deep into what is arguably one of the most debated topics of our day. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 818-487-2011 or going to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. We'll take an in-depth look at the Catholic view of evolution with Dr. Stacy Trisenkos. We'll review the most common misconceptions about how faith and science stand in opposition with Dr. Chris Kazor. And apologist Trent Horn will refute the skeptic's claim that something can come from nothing, plus so much more. Don't miss out on what will be a virtual handbook on one of the most important issues of our day. Call 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine. From Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
I'm Tom Price.
And I'm Gloria Purvis. Tomorrow, Father Bryce Sibley.
And Justin Ward continues our spotlight on sacred music. Join us for Morning Glory, 7 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
It's good when you had a couple days off to have Steve Ray as your first guest. When you come back, get you fired up, ready to go. I am Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers. And delighted to have you here. Wanted to say thanks to Chris Check, who hosted. Chris Check is the president of Catholic Answers and a great big giant deal around here. And he hosted while I was out, and I'm very grateful to him. Thank you, Chris, for that. And also, I heard that the kids show went really well. I love when kids call. Thanks to all the kids who called when I was out. Oh, and also, I got to say, Patrick Coffin was here Friday. I wasn't avoiding him. It was planned before. I know people think, oh, he escaped before Patrick Coffin came back. No, I would love to have chatted with Patrick, but Chris got the honor because I had to be elsewhere that day. Here in San Diego, a couple of our seminarians are heading off to Rome today, tomorrow morning, I guess. So I wanted to ask you to keep all the seminarians who go various places, some heading off to major seminary this summer. Bradley Easterbrooks and Guillermo Hernandez are the two from San Diego are heading off to Rome. Pray for your seminaries, and we're all praying for them here at Catholic Answers. Our guest this hour is Steve Ray. Steve is a writer and filmmaker and tour guide extraordinaire, a certified guide to the Holy Land. And you mentioned earlier, Steve, something about a couple of the Old Testament saints. That's our topic this hour, Old Testament saints. Okay, so why do we remember David in a saintly way and not Solomon? What happened there?
Well, that's a sad story and a happy story, but David was a saint, and he was right from the very beginning. He had a heart for God, and that's what Scripture says more than once, that David was a man after God's own heart. Can you imagine, Cy, if you had in Scripture that comment about you, Cy Keller, a man after God's own heart? Not just somebody like me saying it, but being said by
Scripture, yeah. Infallibly being proclaimed about you. Yeah, that would be, I'd take that.
Testimony. And here he is, just a young boy, and he is challenged with this giant named Goliath. All the other people are afraid to tackle him. This guy is massive. And David says, I don't need armor. Just give me my slingshot. I'll take care of him. The Lord will take care of him. I can't do it. I'm too small, but I'm going to be an instrument in the hands of God. And he kills this great big giant, and then he becomes the king of Israel. And in his, he had some problems. Sometimes when you get rich and famous and powerful, there are temptations, and he looks across and he sees Bathsheba, and he does what he shouldn't do with her. And then he has her husband killed so that he can have her to himself. And he's already got a whole bunch of wives. And he didn't want to repent of it. And then finally, Nathan the prophet comes and he tells him a story. And David all of a sudden realizes his sin, and he repents. And then God likes that, even though we're sinners. You know, this is an interesting thing. We think we can't be saints because we have so many sins in our life. But remember David, he had horrible sins in his life, but he always came back to God and said, I'm sorry, do whatever punishment I need. I'll take it like a man. I'm going to cling to you, though. I'm going to follow you and have a heart for you no matter what. Even when I fall, I'm going to get back up and go. And because of that, you go to churches, and he is one that I do see in a lot of churches. For example, the Church of St. Mary Major in Rome has a nice statue of David with his harp, and I see that also in Haifa in Israel, and I've seen David oftentimes in churches with his harp. But then his son Solomon comes, and you'd think that his son Solomon saw all the blessings of God in his father's life, and Solomon builds this beautiful temple, and the fire comes down from heaven, and all the people, Solomon's there, and he watches this fire burn the bulls on the altar, a supernatural fire. They all bow down and said, the Lord, he is our God. But it says that subsequent to that, Solomon loved women. He loved so many women. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's 1,000 women that he had. And he loved them. And he loved them more than he loved God. And because they were from foreign countries, they wanted to build altars to Chemosh and Moloch and Baal and Asherah and all of these wicked deities. And Solomon, because he loved these women, went across the Kidron Valley on the Mount of Olives, and he built, it's a place I pointed out to our pilgrims today, see the clump of trees, that's called the Hill of Evil Counsel, the Mount of Corruption. And that's where Solomon built these altars to the foreign gods. And God himself was so angry, he said, after all I've done for your father and for you, you've done this, I will rip the kingdom from your hands. You don't ever hear about Solomon being in heaven, feasting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the saints. This guy made a stupid decision, and you never see. I went back just to see this yesterday. I never see anywhere after that where Solomon repented or did any act of contrition. It looks like he just continued in that sinful way the rest of his life, because I don't see any place where he changed his ways. So there you have an example of David, who, although he was a sinner, always came back to God, always went to confession, always said, Lord, I'm yours. I sin. I'm sorry. I'm going to cling on to you. And then his son Solomon, who did the opposite. So there are good saints in the Old Testament, but there are also examples of what we don't want to do in other men.
Indeed, and a lot of what the way that you describe the saintliness of David tells us so much about God and God's mercy, and it's almost a perfect lesson. It's the gospel in its proto form, in that it's only a repentant heart that God wants, and one that is capable of genuine love and repentance. And
it is.
We often hear, I think one of the wonderful things about talking about the saints of the Old Testament is we hear this idea that the God of the Old Testament is mean and nasty, and the God of the New Testament is a God of love. And that is really a slander against the Jewish faith and against God.
Yep. You can see God's heart. You can see the heart of God, and it's the same in the Old and the New Testament. He wants people to do what's right, to be holy and just, and to love him. Why does he want people to love him? Because he's this megalomaniac in heaven that says, I'm so great, I want you to love me. No, because he knows that's what's best for us. Just like as if I'm a father, I have 4 kids now and 16 grandkids, and I want them to love me, not because I have a big ego, but because but that kind of a relationship where I can love them and give them, and they respond back with love to me. It only makes them better and me better, and this is what God wants. And at least half of the Psalms were written by David. And if you want to see the kind of heart David had, when you read the Psalms, you see the heart of David, and it was so beautiful that God incorporated it in his scripture so that it becomes his word too. This book of Psalms is God's word, but it came from David's mouth. So David was so close to God that even his own words became God's words. And God loved that about David. That's why he always was reaching down and blessing him. Even in his sin, he would forgive him and bring him back.
You know, and when you say that, I'm going to go to a call, but when you say that, I think about Jesus, because the Psalms are what Jesus prayed. We know that Jesus went to the synagogue and prayed the Psalms. Mary in Indianapolis is our next caller. Mary, your question for Steve Ray.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I was wondering about chapter 6 in Genesis, verse 4, where it says, the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bare children, and some of the Protestants then, people are saying, you know, the women were having relations with demons or else UFO aliens. And then I heard another priest said that was sons of God refers to the male prostitutes at pagan temples that represented a god Baal, and that they would the prostitutes, male prostitutes with women, and the children that they had, they would be called sons of God. So
does that make sense to you?
Yeah,
it does. And it says that these were the men of renown. They were the giants of those times, were the products of it. This is a very, it's more than we can deal with here. It's a very complicated passage, and there are good scholars on all sides of it. I tend to think, and I know there's others who disagree with me, that these were some kind of angelic beings that came down, and they were somehow taking on a physical form and lusting after the women, that kind of thing. Others think that the sons of God were the righteous and that the sons of men were the sinful women that came from Cain. And so it's a very complicated one. I'm writing a book on Genesis right now. I'm going to try and have it done by the end of the year. And I try to deal with that a little bit, but it is a very difficult passage. And there are several very legitimate interpretations of what that might mean. But it's a difficult passage to understand.
It is. It's one of the ones that people are most maybe disturbed by, or because it's so it's so unlike so much of what you hear in Scripture that it pops out.
Mary, if you give them, if you stay on the line, and they'll give you my email address, and I'll send you that page out of my manuscript about that passage.
Okay, Mary, hang on. And Marie will get your address. Thanks, Mary. We go now to Deacon Leonard in Midland, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Deacon Leonard, your question for Steve Ray.
Hello, Steve.
Yeah. Hello. First of all, let me thank you for being a deacon.
What have you ever heard about the old Ark of the Covenant that was taken from the temple?
Oh. Okay. I wanted to say, first of all, thanks for being a deacon. We need good guys like you serving in the church, so thank you very much. The Ark of the Covenant in the temple, the last that we know of is in that Baruch, who was this secretary of Jeremiah. He was like Jeremiah's secretary. He took it when he heard the Babylonians are coming, and he hid it, and no one has ever seen it since. Nobody knows where that old Ark of the Covenant is. The Ethiopians, there's a big hoopla. They say they have it, and they've got it hidden away in a cave. My comment to them is put up or shut up. If you have the Ark, bring it out and show it. Otherwise, don't be saying that you have the Ark and also not letting anybody ever see it. If you've got it, bring it out and show it. There's a lot of speculation on where the Ark could be, and I don't think anybody knows. It was buried in a place where nobody would know to protect it. My personal theory is they'll never find the Ark of the Covenant because there's already a new Ark of the Covenant that's taken its place, and that Ark is Mary. Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. And when you read in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 19, it says, I looked up into the heavens, and there was the tabernacle, and the tabernacle was open, and there was the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this was 600 years after the Ark disappeared. And it says, I looked in heavens and I saw the Ark and the Covenant. Behold, I saw the woman clothed with the sun. Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. In my movie on Mary, I go into great detail on that. And I also think there will never be another temple built on Temple Mount, because the third temple, the final temple, is already being built, and it's you and me. It is the temple of the body of Christ. He said, I will tear down the temple and build it again in 3 days. He meant his own body. We're the mystical body of Christ. We are the new temple that's being built, so there's never going to be another temple or the old ark found, because there's already a new ark and a new temple. That's my thoughts on it anyway.
Okay.
Deacon?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to check and see.
We've met once before, Steve.
What's that?
I said, we met once before when you were in Midland.
I figured that we did, because I know I've been to Midland a couple times, and I'll tell you, you folks are great. And we did a fundraiser, and the reason I could do these last two movies in large part is because of all of you great folks in Midland, and I have a wonderful, tender spot in my heart for all of you. I love you. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I got to drive you around. I understand. I appreciate it.
I remember you. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Deacon. I appreciate that. And God bless you for driving Steve around. Sometime I'd like to ask you about whether he has the same amount of enthusiasm when he is off the air. Hey, Steve, we have this thing here at Catholic Answers called mystory@catholic.com. You just send an email to mystory@catholic.com. And
yeah.
People are sharing their story of how Catholic Answers Live has impacted their lives. And it's very helpful to us. And it means so much to us. And I'm going to share one with you, because you're,
sure.
I mean, you're a regular here. And Lisa from Akron, Ohio wrote this. And it's just, these kind of things just get you right in the heart. I'm a cradle Catholic, and I met my non-Catholic husband when I was 19. We were married a few years later in the church, but my reversion happened shortly after my husband started asking me questions about the faith that I couldn't answer. I realized I owed it to him and myself to know why I claimed I believed what I believed. That's when I started listening to Catholic Answers Live, and not only did I find answers, and here's the good part, Steve, but I became on fire. I'm so grateful for your ministry. It changed my faith life. That's what we want to hear, isn't it? People on fire.
And, you know, everywhere I go, I have to say this, and people tell me how much they love Catholic Answers Live. I know they say, yeah, I listen to your show, Steve, on podcasts or whatever, but the whole general attitude everywhere is that people love Catholic Answers Live because you deal with such a wide range of topics. It's just not one topic. You deal with such a wide range of topics, and when people listen, everybody's going to be affected in one way or another. Even a non-believer who listens is going to hear Trent Horn talking about why you're an atheist.
Right.
And they're going to be challenged. And you know, the nice thing about radio, and then I'll quit talking so much, is that it's a non-threatening medium, because when you are in a car, say, for example, I walk up, Trent or me walk up to an atheist, says, why are you an atheist? It's going to be right away hostile. It's going to be confrontive. But if you're listening on the radio, it's not that way.
You're
safe.
You
can listen without feeling like you're being attacked. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why you guys do so much good for people.
Well, thanks. Maybe you could go there to mystory@catholic.com, Steve Ray, and leave your testimony. I want to invite the listener, if you have a chance and you're willing to share that with us, go to mystory@catholic.com and tell us your story. Excuse me, don't go to, email us at mystory@catholic.com. I forgot how the internet worked there for a second. Email us at mystory@catholic.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Old Testament Saints with Steve Ray right after this.
Catholic Answers Live. The only thing missing from today's broadcast is you. Call now with your question.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
I feel that God has been really doing a work in me in the last 5-10 years. I'm a convert to Catholicism, and I started to just really feel a passion to know more about the Catholic faith, and I started listening to Catholic radio all day. I'm not doing great things, but I'm doing small things with great love.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Reminder that next hour, Eric Sammons will be here, and we're going to talk about circles of evangelization. Like, for example, at the center of your circle of evangelization is yourself. We have to make sure that we are fully evangelized, that we have the good news within us, our minds and our hearts. But you move out from there, your family, your neighbors, your parish, and Eric's going to talk about how we do that. So you want to hang around for second hour today. This hour is just flying by because we have a lot of fun when Steve Ray is here. And Steve is talking with us about Old Testament saints, the number 888-318-7884, if you'd like to ask Steve about that. This is in part occasioned by the film series that Steve is continuing to produce, The Footprints of God, the story of salvation from Abraham to Augustine. And I'm holding in my hand one of the videos, Elijah and Elisha, Conscience of the Kingdom. These are people who, in their time and place, where they were planted, God called and they answered. It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Yes, and many of them, they're not remarkable in any way. They're no more remarkable than any of us, other than they had a heart for God, and they were willing to turn away from sin, and they were willing to say yes to God every day of their life and follow Him.
Yeah.
My daughter went to Steubenville, and she got her degree in philosophy and theology, and then went on to Catholic University for a PhD. But a guy told her, he says, "Listen, Cindy, you're not, I have a degree in philosophy. You can't make money with a degree in philosophy." My daughter said, "I didn't go to the university to make money. I went to get a degree so it would help me to become a saint."
God bless her. You know, she reminds me of yesterday's reading at Mass with Amos, the prophet, where the priest is saying, "Oh, go to Jerusalem and make a lot of money." And Amos has to basically say, "Look, I didn't pick this job. God called me. I'm not here to make money.
I'm a shepherd.
Yeah.
I'm a shepherd and dresser of sycamore trees. I'm a farmer."
Right. And Amos is such a great saint himself.
It is. It's exactly my point, is that these saints that we're looking at in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, sometimes the saints in the New Testament almost seem unreachable to us because they're celibate or they're nuns that are cloistered away.
Yeah.
And these, they're kind of, well, I could never do that. I've got these six kids running around. I've got to change diapers. How can I do what that sister does? But that's not always the case. There are a lot of saints that we don't know their names. And you look at Amos, he was a farmer, and that's all he did. And what do you mean I have to go be a prophet? But he did what God said. I guarantee he's one of those Old Testament saints. And these guys, most of them were not remarkable people. They were just like us, but they said, "I made a decision. I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to obey Him." And that's what ends up making you a saint.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It is beautiful. And you see it over and over and over again in the Hebrew Scriptures. The prophets, I mean, man, there's a lot of reasons to want to make it home to the Lord's house. But getting to meet the prophets is a major one.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward. I have a lot of questions to ask. I've got a lot of praise to give.
Right.
I love hobnobbing around with guys like that.
Bruce in Florida, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. You are up next, Bruce. Your question for Steve Ray.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking the call, guys. I'm a big fan of Steve. I used to watch all your shows, Footprints of God and what have you. I've a lifelong cradle Catholic, fairly observant, and I became friends with some folks recently who are, they call themselves Messianic. They're both ex-Catholics, and they are very, very strident with the belief that Jesus did not come to abolish any of the laws of the Torah. It's the Catholic Church that changed, Constantine actually, that changed the from Saturday to Sunday, and the dietary laws are still intact. And when I quoted to him the blanket coming down in Peter's dream, they said, no, that was about allowing Peter to speak to Gentiles. Jesus, in fact, said, "Do not change. I did not come to change one letter of the law." So I have been to Bible studies with them where they are reading the Old Testament, going through what I consider to be the old Leviticus, how to burn an offering and things like that. And I said, "Well, these were temple laws. These were not moral laws." They go, "Who told you that you could repeal any of these? These are important, and these must be followed." And that's why the Catholic Church has been lying to people for, 2,000 years.
Yeah, I'm just curious. The problem is that when you go back to the very first Christians, they were Jewish, and the Jewish Christians understood these things, and they did not continue to do all of the things that these Messianic Jews. The way you should think of Messianic Jews, the way I do it, now there's Catholic converts coming over, and there are some leaving, especially of Jewish descent, who are becoming Messianic. They're called Jews for Jesus and other groups like that. What I say about them is they're basically evangelical Christians wearing Jewish clothes, because they really are trying to do more. If you scratch the surface, they're non-sacramental. They don't hold they're very much evangelical Protestants. Now, I know there's a whole bunch of different kinds, and I don't know the flavor that you're meeting with, but there's a bunch of different flavors of these guys. And I would suggest that you get a hold of a book called Salvation is from the Jews by Roy Shulman. Roy Shulman is a Jewish convert, and he's a Harvard graduate, and he's a bright guy, a very good friend of mine. Salvation is from the Jews. And that book, I think, will really help you to understand more. And Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those things. There was a Passover lamb in the Old Testament, yes, but these people still do not offer sacrifices having Passover lambs. They don't do that. They say they're going to follow all the laws, but they don't do that. They don't offer Passover lambs and kill them and spill the blood. They don't offer bulls and goats anymore. So they're not fulfilling all of the Old Testament laws the way that they would have to if they're still going to stay that way. Jesus, it says in 2 Corinthians, he is our new Passover lamb. He is the Passover lamb. John said, this is the one, Jesus, the Passover lamb who will take away the sins of the world. You don't need the old bulls and goats and lambs anymore. Jesus has taken that place. He is the new Passover lamb. And he, because he rose from the dead on the Sunday, then the Christians, the number 8 was very special to them, because number 8 was like the 8th day of the week, which is Sunday. It's the day of resurrection. It fulfills all of the Old Testament laws. But anyway, get Roy Shulman's book, Salvation is from the Jews. I think it would help you.
And Bruce, I'm going to leave it there because I want to try to get to as many as I can before we have to let Steve Ray go. Joe in Kansas City, Missouri, also listening to EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio. Your question for Steve Ray.
Well, I have two questions. I didn't know it was Steve Ray when I dialed the telephone.
Well, you won the lottery then.
I know. I'm without a church. My earliest memories of Christianity were at Episcopal school. I've been involved in different evangelical schools. So I have two questions. One, when I listen to you guys, and I listen to you fairly regularly, you guys talk about Catholic almost as an issue of pride, and it seems to me that if you trace your heritage truly to Peter, you are the Christian church. And I don't always understand that emphasis on Catholicism. And my second question is, if one were to become part of the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church were, for instance, to make severe or significant doctrinal changes, as has the Episcopal Church in the last few decades, what then?
Good questions, both. I think that you're a bright guy. I wish we had time to have a cup of coffee, because this is going to be way too short. I use the word Catholic because we are Christians. We're the first Christians that came around, and the word Catholic was used of it in the first and second century, and it means universal. It means all the truth for all the people all the time. The church was never supposed to be divided up into different denominations and so on. That's a very recent development. When Jesus said, I want them all to be perfected in unity, that the world may know that the Father sent the Son, and if Christianity is divided up into all these different groups, then the world looks at us and says, wait a minute, the Father didn't send the Son. You have no unity among you. And the word Catholic simply means universal. It's for everybody. It's the one big universal church. And it's not just a group of people who love each other and love Jesus. It's more, Jesus set it up to be like a government. I will build my church, and if a brother sins against you, you take it to the church. That's the legal entity where you can go. So when we say Catholics, it is something I'm proud of. I was born and raised an evangelical, converted to the Catholic Church 24 years ago, and I still can't believe I'm a Catholic. It's still so exciting to me. I wake up sometimes and can't believe that I did this. And now, if I go I see the clock ticking. If the doctrines of the church changed, for example, if all of a sudden the church announces that Jesus is not divine or there's no Trinity, it can't do that, because the Holy Spirit has promised that will not happen in his church. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they are the soul and the heart of the church. Nothing can take, nothing like that can happen. because they're protecting it. And for 2,000 years, it hasn't.
Joe, thanks
and
very
yet,
much.
We've had crummy people in charge. We've had, you know, I could tell stories. But the fact is that the church never has changed those laws, morals, or theology, because it is the church.
Again, Joe, thanks very much. Steve Ray, that hour just zipped by. Thanks for talking with us about the Old Testament saints.
This was a fun show to do, and I hope we do another show soon.
CatholicConvert.com is where you can find out more about Steve Ray. Right back after this.